We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones and Giles Brandreth in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello, welcome again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, this week we have three of our regular players and we welcome Giles Brandreth as our guest. Nobly coming to do battle with these three intrepid players of the game who got so many tricks they've mastered over the years of winning in Just a Minute. And once again, they're all going to try and speak if they can on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this week, we begin the show with Kenneth Williams, and Kenneth, the subject, being nosy. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I was being very nosy once when I opened a book which contained confidential recommendations, and I thought, well, I'll look at what they say about me. And what I found was not, I'm here to tell you, to my pleasure. I found they say, well, it'd be more
Charles Brandreth is challenged.
I wanted really to protect your secrets and keep them safe, really. But he repeated found.
Yes, I'm afraid
what I found,
you
what I found.
Repeat found. So, Giles, you've got in. And for our listeners, I tell you that laugh is because Kenneth has become overcome with embarrassment and now he's eyeing his man who's sitting next to him, which is Giles Brandreth, who's got him with the first challenge, and so he gets a point for that and takes over the subject with 41 seconds left. Being nosy, starting now.
The world's most professional nosy parkers are, of course, the KGB, and I have had personal experience at their hands when I visited Moscow some years ago. I was invited as a guest of the Soviet government as a consequence of my children's stories relating to moles. They are long stories with blunt ends.
Peter Jones challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was just a hesitation there, Peter. So let's hear from you on the subject of being nosy. And there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
There's a great deal to be said in favor of it, because if you don't become nosy, you very rarely find out anything worth knowing. Because people tend to conceal and not to reveal information, particularly when it is of a secretive nature. And that, after all, is very often the only thing you really want to find out.
Well, when the ambassador blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever's speaking that moment gains the extra point. It was Peter Jones who's in the lead at the end of that round, and they all resist the temptation to talk about the Parsons nose, I'm pleased to say. Derek, will you take the next round? The subject, faces suitable for custard pies. There's the subject. A good one for radio. 60 seconds, starting now.
I will not resist the temptation not to talk about the Parsons nose, because I can think of no more suitable recipient for the average custard pie than the chairman of this game, if that is what is meant by the question. Very curious one, isn't it? Faces suitable for custard pies. Does the chairman mean that we have to chuck the thing into his bizarre?
Giles Brandreth, Charles.
We've had chairman twice. The chairman of this program,
I'm afraid,
does the chairman mean?
So, Giles, you take over the subject of faces suitable for custard pies with 40 seconds to go, starting now.
Mine own has been a face considered occasionally suitable for a custard pie, for when I once applied for an Arts Council grant, it was considered a good idea that I should wear a custard pie on the occasion. Then think...
Kenneth Williams,
Charles. Deviation. I mean, we all know this audience is not going to be misled. I mean to say that you get into a university by wearing a custard pie. Are we seriously asked to believe this rubbish?
I don't know.
It's deviation of the most appalling kind.
But he hasn't actually deviated from the subject on the card. This might well be accurate, what he's telling us. It might be in the realms of fantasy, which he'll establish in a moment. I don't think it's a correct challenge in the game, Kenneth. So, Giles keeps the subject. 27 seconds, starting now. Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Full stop, I would have said. 25 seconds for you, Peter, on faces suitable for custard pie, starting now.
I always think the comedic value of throwing a custard pie into somebody's face is very much overrated, and it's actually never amused me, even when I was a child.
Giles Brandreth.
Hesitation, even when I was the memory
failed. Yes, I think
there.
So, yes. 15 seconds on faces suitable for custard pies, Charles. Starting now.
There is no doubt that...
Peter Jones is
chap. Hesitation.
Hesitation. Yes. 13 seconds on the subject, Peter, starting now.
But I must admit that however one views it...
Giles Brandreth.
Hesitation, yes, without any doubt, yes, at all.
10 seconds for you, Giles, on faces suitable for custard.
There is no doubt at all that the reason that Kenneth was so sensitive was that his younger sister, Shirley, has often been the victim of custard pies throughout her long and varied political career. Many is the occasion on which one has come across the...
Giles was speaking as the whistle went, and he's in the lead at the end of the round, one ahead of Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams and Derek are training a little. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, future inventions. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
I would like to think that among the new inventions of the future, one would be included which would render useless and inoperable the inventions...
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
Hesitation.
I agree, Kenneth. So you take over the subject of future inventions, and there are 48 seconds left, starting now.
I hope that among the future inventions, there'll be one for stopping the grapefruit juice or the lemon going into your eye when you poke it, because I've often had occasion when that's gone on, and it's resulted in the most awful pain, you know, because it's quite a stingy effect, isn't it? The other thing they ought to invent, too, is non-slip steps, so that when you go down them, you don't fall over. And when you go up... Oh, I think... Who challenged?
Giles Brandreth, sitting beside
you.
Yes, very sharp, isn't he? Yes. So, Giles, you've gone in with the correct challenge and 23 seconds on future inventions starting now. Kenneth Williams, hesitation, yes. He doesn't get going as fast as this. Like 21 seconds on future inventions, Kenneth, starting now.
And the other invention that I would like very much to see is one that allows you to levitate without ever having to bother about traffic jams. And you would simply rise above it, so to speak, and you'd never be caught up in an entanglement of any kind. And thus you would reach your destination with
Kenneth Williams.
I hope I didn't sound affected there.
No, you just sounded normal.
Oh, right. Only I was trying to drag it out so I could win, you see. Yeah. I'll be quite honest with you. That is my aim here.
Yeah, is it? Mm. You've come all the way from Great Portland Street to win. Well, it doesn't always show by results, Kenneth. We look upon the value that you contribute. And you're in third place. You've got some points in that round, but you haven't caught up with Peter Jones and Giles Brandreth yet. And Giles begins the next round. The subject, bloomers. Will you tell us something about those in the game, Giles, starting now?
To many people, bloomers are verbal slips, such as when the field marshal addresses the officer and says, "Ah, Captain, I see you're playing with your privates." But the sort of bloomers that we are speaking of are, in fact, named after that great Victorian pioneer of feminism, Amelia Jenks Bloomer. Now, Amelia Jenks Bloomer was a lady of...
Derek Nimmo, Charles.
We had two Amelia Jenks Bloomers. Well, I thought that was quite disgusting, actually. I know Kenneth was deeply shocked, weren't you, Kenneth?
He's so shocked, he's still laughing. Derek, let's get back to just a minute. You have a correct challenge on Amelia, and there are 38 seconds for you on the subject of bloomers, starting now.
Amelia Bloomer invented these things called bloomers, and they went right down to the ankle, and they were part of the kind of women's liberation of the day. That's why they did not become quite
Peter popular. Jones has challenged.
They didn't go down as far as the ankle.
They did.
And they went just below the knee.
Well, some of them went... Giles,
I think I should speak here because they came just beneath, between the ankle and the...
Knee.
Yes.
Yeah, so, well, some of them might have gone down, but they didn't all go down.
Well, you've heard of people's bloomers having slipped.
We're not talking about a very small person wearing huge bloomers, you know. We're talking about normal people.
You did establish that they all went down, Derek, so I think Peter's challenge must stand, and there are 30 seconds on bloomers with you, Peter, starting now.
Bloomers is the title of a German farce. The author's name, I'm afraid, I've forgotten, but it's an amusing piece because it is all built round a woman who loses her bloomers on her way to catch a bus. And they fall round her feet. She steps out of them, picks them up,
And the resultant drama involves the bystanders who witness this scene and her husband, who's terribly embarrassed by it. And he takes it up.
What does he take up, the bloomers or something else?
No, he takes up the case. Because, well, I'm not going to say something.
Well, you won't have a chance to say it again in just a minute. If you want to tell us the payoff.
Well, I think I'll wait for a better opportunity.
Well, if the series comes back next year, perhaps you'll tune in and see whatever happened to that fellow who picked up the ladies' bloomers. Peter, you got a point, of course, of speaking as the whistle went, and you're back in the lead alongside Giles Brandreth and Kenneth follows, and then Derek Nimmo and Kenneth begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is marshmallows. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Amelia Bloomer was sucking one when she came to promote her cause, and she threw her crinoline away while the public cried, "What-o!" and she walked about in drawers. Actually, of course, the marshmallows in question at the time were naturalistic Victorian marshmallows. Now, you may well ask, what's the difference between those and the ones you can purchase in any confectioner's today? Well, it's a very interesting differential. I was clever there because I did repeat myself. Because the sugar came from Demerara, you see. Now, this, as you know, is a long way away from England. And the...
Peter Jones...
It's Tipperara that's a long way.
So what is your challenge?
No, deviation. All I mean, right. He was talking about... something else, wasn't
he? He'd gone on to the subject of sugar and not marshmallows.
Right, yes, sugar, Peter. That's right. Yes.
24 seconds for you with marshmallows starting now.
Well, they're quite good if they're toasted, I believe. I haven't ever experienced one, but that's what I've been told. The white of egg, which is one of the main ingredients of a marshmallow, is particularly effective when it has been held in front of a bonfire or even a small...
Charles Brander, Charles.
Yes, I think a little bit of hesitation there.
And there definitely was. He couldn't think of another thing to substitute for fire. So there are 5 seconds on marshmallows, Giles, with you starting now.
Billy Bunter loved marshmallows. Oh, crikey, he would cry when his pater's latest hamper arrived. Absolutely.
So Giles Brandreth, our guest, got in with only a few seconds left, kept going to the whistle, and has increased his lead. He's one ahead of Peter Jones, and a little bit more ahead of Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmo in that order, and Derek begins the next round. The subject is Halley's Comet. Derek, can you tell us something about it in the game, starting now?
If you mean the comet that is about to reappear in 1986, the correct pronunciation is Halley's Comet and not Halley's Comet, but that is the subject on the card, so I'm afraid I have to mispronounce the word, and I do apologize to the audience. I happen to be a member of the Halley's Comet Society, and therefore I'm going with a lot of chums. We're hiring an aeroplane and flying off in the aforementioned year, which is in the future, as I said, to actually witness this great thing, which was, I suppose, one of the chief thing on the
Bay... Charles Brandon,
I think we really were getting a little bit confused and hesitating there.
So your challenge is...
I'm hesitation.
Yes, I think there was hesitation. So you have the subject of Halley, or, as we most of us say, or Hawley, as Derek Nimmo and his erudite chum say, Comet, and 31 seconds left, starting now.
Halley's Comet comes from the same family as the famous orchestra, except that the original Halley was himself an amateur astronomer who lived 300 years ago. He was the Patrick Moore of his generation, and one evening he was out with his funny eye looking up at the sky, wondering what he was going to see next. And what did he see but a comet? Aha! He rushed into the observatory at Greenwich and said to Mrs. Halley, "You won't believe it, darling, I've just seen the most extraordinary thing." And here we are, 300 years later, of the original...
Well, that's another way to play Just a Minute. Keep going with such speed and panache that they don't notice the repetitions. So well done, Jars. You've increased your lead at the end of that round. And Peter Jones takes the next round, which is the British sausage. Even a bit difficult to say, the British sausage. 60 seconds, as usual, Peter, starting now.
The British sausage has really ceased to interest me since I became a vegetarian and have eschewed meat. And I must say that when I pass a butcher's shop, which looks usually to me now like the result of a terrible motor accident, I am pleased that the British sausage is not included in my diet. It has, I know, a very small proportion of the carcasses of animals in it. Mostly it consists of bread crumbs, wheat germ.
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
Bread crumbs, wheat germ.
Yes, I agree, Kenneth. 32. The British sausage starting now.
Amelia Bloomer loved a British sausage. In fact, she always said, apart from Alice Comet, she'd rather have a British sausage than she'd have a marshmallow. And all power to her elbow, I say. After all, isn't individuality the very essence of what this nation is famous for? And bangers!
Giles.
Deviation. Amelia Bloomer was American. I don't wish to be pedantic if Kenneth really feels he must go on. Of course,
he was on about the British sausage being the that's what he was trying to convey, and that's the message he got across to me. So I'm sorry,
I felt that his dissertation on this woman was far-fetched, to say the least.
I agree, Peter, but he still wasn't deviating to
no
my mind.
No more far-fetched than Giles Brand was about Haley looking...
Oh, well, I'm not even mentioning Giles Brand. He gets quite enough publicity already.
Only one who said ha-ha on the programme and got away with it for not repeating. Right, there are 12 seconds for you, Kenneth, to continue with the British sausage starting now.
The British sausage is best gingered up with a little mustard. Now, some prefer ketchup, which they pour liberally over the British sausage, but I think that takes away from the flavour.
So, Kenneth spoke as the whistle went, gained an extra point, got other points in the round. He's still in third place, but he's catching up on Peter Jones, who's just behind our leader, who's still Giles Brandreth, and Giles begins the next round. It's having my hair done. So, Giles, will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
When I go to see my barber, who incidentally is the great-grandson of the First World War poet Siegfried Sassoon, he often says to me, how do you want your hair cut? And I say to him, preferably in silence. My younger brother has got long hair down to his shoulders, and then he wonders why he's got split ends. He's a nice enough fellow, very easy with Christmas presents, one giant tube of Valderma, and that is him done for the year. And sometimes he and I...
Challenge, yes, Derek.
Deviation, he's talking about his brother's skin complaints rather than having his hair.
Not at all.
And if you'd waited a moment, you'd have discovered about him and me going together, about his punk hairstyle, and the little orange bit, and the little spots to the right. But no, it's your turn.
No, it's up to you. Give it all away.
No, give it back to him and then see what he's got to say.
No.
Oh, they're all so polite.
Yes. So, Derek, we grant you the benefit of the doubt, and there are 35 seconds on having my hair done starting now.
Very difficult to find a barber these days. We have hair stylists.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Quite easy to find a barber. You've only got to walk along any main street, and there's always a barber around.
But my point was that they call themselves hair stylists now.
Yes, but they are barbers. That's what they call themselves. Hair stylists or unisexual manipulators of hirsute, whatever it is.
So I don't think he was deviating, really.
You don't?
No.
You don't think it's...
I think it's a good challenge, but not enough to... I've got to make this... All right, I'll put it to the audience. If you agree with Peter's challenge that you can't find barbers easily these days, you cheer for Peter. And if you disagree, you boo for Derek Nimmo, and you all do it together now. Right, Derek, they think that it isn't as easy to find barbers as it was, so you continue with the subject, having got a point.
I didn't know we had an audience of hairdressers.
They've all just come from that establishment. 31 seconds left, starting now.
They used to have names like George and Fred and Rocky, and now it's Cecil and Maurice and Louis the Blade. And I went to this one...
Kenneth Williams Challenge.
There are three Anns.
Oh.
Cecil and Morris and on and on, didn't it?
Yes. This is a correct challenge, Kenneth.
You would be absolutely
livid if somebody had had you on a challenge like that. But it is correct, and there are 24 seconds for you on having my hair done. Tell us all about your golden locks, as you've told us so often on the programme, starting now.
I'm a very classy man, and he was called Jose Moreno, and I said, of course, in English, that'd be Joe Brown. And he's...
that was a challenge.
That was the third and in under 4 seconds.
Oh, did I say that?
So, Giles, you have back having my hair done, and there are 16 seconds left, starting now. Kenneth, there are 15 seconds on having my hair done, starting now.
Well, I like to sit there thoroughly relaxed, and in Ceylon, when it was done for me, they used to massage my shoulders, and I think this should be done.
A Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of I.
Ooh. Oh, it's getting a bit too tough now. If you can't eyes and hands and so forth. But it was the correct challenge. So, Derek, you have 7 seconds on having my hair done, starting now.
Massage my follicles, I cry. And they leap towards me, sheets of the ready, put them on top of my towel.
So, Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. But for once, he is still in fourth place. Kenneth, you'll be in the next round. The subject is Garibaldi. Will you tell us something about him in the game, starting now?
Well, the great liberator of modern Italy as we know it was Garibaldi. And there is a street in London where you can see a plaque erected to his memory. And, of course, he gave his name to those delightful biscuits which contain little raisins. I have often found them delectable and shove them into the tea and eat them with a great smacking relish and think, I feel every bit as satisfied as learning that a nationalised industry has been returned to its rightful owners. I about those risorgimento, which was
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, you see, it's actually currants they put in the biscuits and not raisins. And I let him go on in the hope that he might say something interesting about this great and good man. But alas, he didn't.
Well, I do think in 35 seconds he managed to get in not only a political comment, a historical comment, a personal comment, and also a culinary one. But in spite of that, I agree with your challenge. And there are 22 seconds on Garibaldi, starting now.
This great and good man was, as I say, not only the inventor of the biscuit and popularizer of the red shirt, but when he retired, having achieved...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
I think it was rather a
definite hesitation.
He seemed to me to lose himself. He seemed to me to be dithering, hopelessly dithering.
But you were the one who picked it up first, so you have 10.5 seconds to tell us about Garibaldi, starting now.
Oh, Garibaldi, they used to shout, because he hadn't got very much hair, you see, and that's where the term that's where the word.
Take another challenge.
Deviation, rubbish.
He's jealous of my hair.
But he hadn't established he was talking about the... original Garibaldi, he was just saying Garibaldi could be another Garibaldi, so he wasn't really deviating from the subject on the card. So, Kenneth, you keep going if you want to for another 3 seconds on Garibaldi, starting now.
And he came down from Piedmont in the Italian Alps.
So, as the show progresses, we have an interesting situation. Kenneth Williams is creeping up on our leader, Giles Brandreth. He's only 1 point behind him now. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. The subject is bricklaying. There are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Bricklaying, I suppose one of the most interesting and unlikely bricklayers of the present century was Winston Spencer Churchill, who, when he was down at Chartwell, was always putting bricks upon other ones to construct walls. He found it extraordinarily therapeutic, and I do know what he means. I sometimes feel that I myself am a reincarnated bricklayer, because I found that when I first started bricklaying, that I could pick up the bricks and put them one on top of another, and I knew exactly what to do without any kind of instruction at all. I didn't look at any do-it-yourself books or go to any manuals of any kind. I just found that I was an instinctive bricklayer. And this, to be able to associate myself with this great prime minister, man of a noble family, and to find that we had something in common after all. And the one thing I've always noticed about most...
Peter Jones, a challenge. A
repetition of in common.
10 seconds on bricklaying, starting now.
I do notice that bricklayers always seem to be in demand. If you look through the columns of wanted ads in the newspapers, bricklayers are offered quite a large amount of money. And...
So, Peter Jones got some points in that round, as well as the one for speaking as the whistle went. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this particular program. Let me give you the final score. Derek Nimmo for once finished in fourth place, but it's good when it all gets moved around. We have different winners each week. It shows you how balanced the whole thing is. Kenneth Williams did extremely well, came in second place, only 2 points behind this week's joint winners, which were Peter Jones with our guest, Giles Brandreth. We hope that you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and want to tune in again next week when we take to the air and we play this delightful, impossible, and to some people ridiculous, but to us entertaining game of Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.